question is not, am I ready for Los Angeles? The question is Los Angeles ready for me? Hello, everybody. Martin Zender here. I'm back in my Canton, Ohio studio after returning from a road trip of epic proportions. You can see I'm not set up officially. I don't have my boom here in Canton. I got my same background, but I have like a couple days to spare. I'm going to make a few shows ahead of time, and I'm coming right from this road trip to fly to Los Angeles. The meeting is this weekend, Saturday, November the 7th at the home of Sandy Scott. Again, if you want to attend that meeting, please email Sandy Scott at earthgirl777@gmail.com. We have several people coming to that meeting, and I am looking forward to it. I'm going to talk about the faith of Abraham and Paul, unless you have another idea, because I'm very open to suggestions. Yes, people think I'm just dogmatic all the time, and I never listen to anybody else, and I have my own opinions, and I force them down people's throats. If only you knew, what else am I going to do on this show? I'm a little hoarse, and it's because of Evansville, Indiana. I'm going to tell you about Evansville in a minute. But what am I supposed to do when I'm writing or when I'm speaking? I'm very adamant because I'm in a room by myself, and when I'm writing, I'm in a room by myself. And so, but when I'm with people, I'm very gentle and kind, and I like to hear people's opinions, as I said. So please come to the meeting. Now, this road trip, I was on the road for 30 days. I just got back, so I'm a little hassled and harried, but that's okay. This is what I do. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. Feel happy for me, because this is what happens. I announce the shows in Orlando, and I announce the meeting in Orlando. I announce the show in Birmingham. We had about we had a decent turnout. About 8 people. What, you thought I had 80 people? You think people are breaking down the doors to hear me? No, this is so. It's so under the radar. You should know that by now. And as I've said many times, Paul's letter to the Romans, the Corinthians, the Ephesians, these are small groups of people meeting in someone's living room. So these were good meetings and great production was had. But I was going to stop in Evansville, Indiana to see my good friends. I'm so tired. Dean and Amy Wilkinson and their daughters, Shelby and Haley, wonderful people. And I was just going there to see them because I love them. I want to talk to them. So I didn't even say anything because I wasn't sure if we were even going to have any kind of meeting. Well, Dean somehow gets together like 13 people the day I get there. I'm off the road. I've been on the road for 5 hours. I'm beat up, I'm worn out, but I don't care. I told Dean, look, I'm not here to relax. I'm not here to vacation. I'm here to teach the word. Get as many people as you can. He says, well, that's a good thing, Zender, because we got 13 people coming tonight. I said, you're kidding me. So sure enough, in his garage, this is so epically biblical and Pauline, in his garage, 13 people came. I've never met any of them. Teenagers, there was like 4 or 5 teenagers at this gig. And I just spoke on the word. I gave an overview. I gave an overview of Paul's evangel, of the eons, of hell, of free will, of the Trinity. Talked about death. You name it, I talked about it. There were some of the teenagers there. Their high school teacher, their high school principal was there at the meeting. And it was so epic for them, you know, how it is when I couldn't believe when I was in kindergarten and I saw the nun that was teaching me driving a car. I thought nuns levitated like Sally Field in The Flying Nun. I didn't think nuns were real people. They were in a special category. And teachers, for that matter. I actually thought teachers enjoyed coming to school every day and tormenting me as a student. I came to find out later that teachers dreaded the day just as much as the students did. But they put on this front of liking it, of being happy to be at work and molding young minds full of mush. But actually, they hated it just as much as I did. Great thing. So imagine these teenagers at the meeting in Dean and Amy Wilkinson's garage, seeing their principal, hearing the word, asking questions, raising your hand. It was an amazing meeting. And so that was totally unexpected. Then you can see I'm kind of leaning down here. I don't have my boom here. 2 days later, this was not planned. Dean says, well, we're going to have another meeting. You're here for one more night. So he capitalized on it. This time he got 16 people in his garage. And I forget what I talked about, but it was epic. It was absolutely epic. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that the Spirit of God worked People were carrying away books. I gave away books free. You know that's what I do. And let me tell you, this is why I do that. This is why I can do it. I can give away books because of you listening to me who send me money in support of this work. You send me money. I'm not going to cage this in careful terms, like you send funds for the support of the ministry. No, you send me money so that I can keep doing this, so that I can publish books and give them away to people. It is so great when people come to these meetings, they see books on the back table and they say, oh, Zender's selling books. This guy, whoever he is, many people have never met me. They've maybe heard of me, watched a couple videos. They're interested in seeing what I might have to say. And they see these books. Oh, now he's going to give us the hard sales pitch at the end. And then they hear me say, anything you want, you can take. What I just said about free will, that's available in this book over here called The Really Bad Thing of Free Will. If you like what I said about hell, here's Martin Zender Goes to Hell. If you like what I said about Paul, read The First Idiot in Heaven. If you're thinking about quitting your church, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. I can do that because of you. The only reason I went on this trip was because of you. And I gave away dozens of books. And I loved seeing people carry away these books. And I can do it because you keep me going. And now I'm going to be going to Los Angeles. I'm going to be in California for about 10 days. We're going to have a meeting on Saturday. I'm going to meet people on the side. It's not just these meetings. It's people on the side. And people come up, and opportunities to minister and to give away books happen all the time. And this is what my life is. This is my life. To teach this evangel of grace. To see people hanging on every word. And they're not hanging on, they're hanging on my words relatively, but they can see in me the grace of God coming forth. And I know that I'm a vessel. I realize that, but it's so gratifying. And this whole trip from beginning to end, from Beckley, West Virginia, which was the first night stay, to Columbus, Ohio, I was tremendously blessed. And the same thing's going to happen on the West Coast. And I'm putting together meetings. I will go ahead and preempt myself. I'm putting together meetings at the end of November for Indianapolis and Missouri. People are saying to me, Martin, when are you coming back to the Midwest? Aha. Indianapolis at the end of November and Missouri, the beginning of December, or these could be smooshed together. Smooshed, I say, at the end of November. I haven't put the details together yet. I'm not going to announce the hosts, but I'm just going to give you fair warning that there are going to be meetings by the will of God in Indiana, namely Indianapolis, the crossroads of America, and Missouri. I don't even have a city there for you yet because I don't know where it is, but something's brewing. You can bet. Now we're going to talk about the small scroll, because the interesting thing in chapter 10 here of the unveiling is when John eats the scroll, and the messenger whom I perceived swears by him who is living for the eons, I'm in verse 5, that it shall not, there shall be no longer a delay. Now there's a tiny scroll here, and it's very different, because what we're used to up to this point is the seven sealed scroll in the unveiling in the early chapters. Remember, I said that scroll was not a scroll meant to be read. It was a scroll meant to enact a legal, it was a legal document that would enact a legal proclamation, a decision from the high courts of God that was now going to be enacted on the earth, and it's that kind of scroll. But it's a little scroll, isn't it? Let's go to verse 8 of chapter 10, the unveiling. And the voice which I hear out of heaven speaks again with me and is saying, go, get the tiny scroll. Tiny. What is this word doing in the scripture? Tiny. It sounds like a not very serious word. It is to distinguish it from the larger scroll. Well, we don't know it was a larger scroll, the seven sealed scroll, until this word, this modifier here, tiny. We didn't have that before in the seven sealed scroll. So this is different. Many differences here. Go get the tiny scroll, which is opened in the hand of the messenger who stands on the sea and on the land. And I came away to the messenger saying to him to give me the tiny scroll. And he is saying to me, take it, devour it. It will be making your bowels bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. And that's just what happened to John. I took the tiny scroll out of the messenger's hand. I devoured it. And in my mouth it was sweet as honey. And when I ate it, my bowels were made bitter. And we know this is because the joy that the deliverance of God's people Israel is near, and yet the sorest trials will precede it, just like a mother in labor. Jesus compared the coming of Israel to a mother in labor, talking about a nation being born in one day. And the mother is in travail. She can't believe this is happening to her. She doesn't think she's ever going to get through it. And she pushes and struggles and screams and cries, and that baby comes out. And then for the joy, what is this, the Indy 500 out here? What's happening outside my window? For the joy of the new birth, she forgets all her pain. It's an amazing miracle. And I've been thinking that myself. There were so many joys at the end of this trip. And you know how God sometimes withholds joy? Another friend was talking to me just today on my way back, and she said, you know, sometimes God just has you out on that tiny branch, and you're just hanging there, and you're there, and you're there, and you're there, and God, it just is keeping you in the extremity for the longest possible time before he gives you the deliverance. I felt a hint of the deliverance in the meetings in Evansville. All the meetings, really, but this last one in Evansville was just so unexpected, that's why. And the miracle is I hadn't announced it because I didn't think it was going to happen. So God pulled a fast one on me. And I saw the sunshine of deliverance. And it made me realize that we are going to look back as a mother who delivers a child. And we're going to look at all these trials and all the times we complained. And I'm speaking about myself too. I complain bitterly sometimes. And I know that we're going to wonder, why did we complain so much when we see how quickly God is going to turn this around? And so I got a glimpse of a tiny little piece of God's word being received, being eaten, like this scroll. People were eating the word of God all through this 30-day trip, especially this Evansville meeting. They were eating it. And it was so gratifying to me. And with all these meetings, I had a sense that wherever I was right. Wherever I was that day, no matter what it took to get there. And let me tell you, I was going through a personal trial on the way to Evansville. I didn't even tell my hosts this, but I was actually screaming and crying in my car by myself, having just an awful time. I was tired. And I was going through a particular trial I'm not going to tell you about, and I was just feeling at my worst. But I have learned this, ladies and gentlemen, and I wish for you to learn this as well, that your feelings don't matter. It doesn't matter what you're feeling, and it doesn't matter what you're going through, because God has the deliverance in store. It does not depend on your mood. I've told you this many times. Many of you withdraw because of your mood. You will withdraw because of your pain. You will not go to be with other people. You will seclude yourself. And I say that you are at your strongest when you're weak. And so I have been trained in this long enough to know that it didn't matter how I felt, what kind of mood I was in. I just stay in the moment. I don't project anything ahead. I don't project my mood, my angst on anyone. I react to the occasion, and God opens the doors, and he uses a cracked vessel, a broken vessel, to administer. I'm still hoarse because of the speaking I did, to administer his grace and his truth. And people know then, because I'm a broken vessel, and they can tell by the way I'm talking, by how honest I am, by how the thoughts are flowing, and it's how it's spontaneous, and the spontaneity makes them feel like we're in this together, and we are, and you and I are in this together, and you're supporting me in this work. And I've talked a lot about it on this show. I haven't talked too much about the little scroll. I'll get more into that tomorrow, but I just saw a glimpse of the miracle that God is going to do that's around the corner for not only a small group in a garage in Evansville, Indiana, but for the universe, and that we're all a part of it. You're just as much a part of it as me. I might be the guy driving down the road or flying to the West Coast or arriving at a place disheveled, discouraged, beat up, bent, and yet still having that perfume of God's grace poured out of my cracked vessel. You're in that with me. I'm not alone. And you're not alone. We're a team. We're working together. That sounds cliche-ish. Who am I? Vince Lombardi here. But I'm telling you, don't give up. I'm not going to give up. We're in it together. We're going to continue to publish this word. And the word that goes forth from God will not return to him void.